Alright, so if you haven't heard it before, this is the brand new signature tune for Filling the Gap 2024, and I'm so excited about this one. This was actually my wife's choice, and she says that the music sets the tone for the rest of the program. So let's just take a moment and suck it all in. Listen to this. Come on, listen to this. So my wife says it's dramatic, but it's not heavy, but it means business, and it's serious, but it's also smooth and peaceful. So we just spoke about the ladies in our lives off air, and it's so awesome to give a shout out to the lady in my life, my anchor, my rock, my wife, Anri. It's me, Alice O'Gall, good choice. You're tuned into Radio Pulpit, your daily companion with me, Dwayne van Rensburg, from Gauteng to the Cape. Radio Pulpit and Cape Pulpit this evening, broadcasting to you guys all the way from Gauteng to the Cape, nationwide. It's so awesome to greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is called Filling the Gap, and from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, I'll be spending time with you right here on your daily companion, and I will be chatting issues and topics that's relevant to the time that we live in. And if you are new to Filling the Gap, I've got a series of awesome guests that spend some time with me. Last week was an amazing show, the launch of Celebrate Africa's brand new song called Belief that was done on my show last week. Go check out the podcast for that one. That was an amazing one. Then, of course, we've got guests like Reverend Paul Coupe. I'm sure everybody knows her by now. And Paul Coupe, absolutely standing up for the kingdom of God in the world wherever she travels. Advisor to presidents in Africa. And it's so awesome to know what's going on ground level. We also spend some time with people like Francois Boys from Who's It Samenleving. We've had the privilege of interviewing Michael W. Smith, Francine Rivers, and lately, Stanley Premnath, one of the survivors of the September 11. Please go to www.radiopulpit.co.za and you can go check out all the podcasts of the shows that we've done up until now. Right, one of the guests that I have with me every week, every month, is of course a guy called Brenton Jerome. Before I introduce Brenton, I want to invite you to come join this evening's chat by sending us a WhatsApp on 0826572729. Let me give you that one again, 0826572729, and you can join the chat. A special shout out to a group of people tuning in this evening, and it's the people from the Entheos group. I see on one of their WhatsApp groups they have posted, listen to our very own Pastor Dwayne and Pastor Brenton Jerome this evening. So send us a WhatsApp either on your Entheos group or the WhatsApp channel 0826572729. So Brother Brenton, I've got big news for you, but before we go there, let me first just say, hello, Maza Kinder.
Hello, hello, hello.
What's up?
If you want to know what's up, literally the ceiling and the lights, it's a beautiful studio.
You should say inflation and petrol prices. Are you good, bro?
I am super blessed. Seeing that I'm here, I'm mightily blessed.
Normal.
How about you?
I'm always good when I'm in your presence.
Amen.
But I've got news for you.
Please do.
You thought you coming this evening with a specific agenda,
yeah,
and you had something planned in your mind,
mm-hmm,
for what we wanted to discuss this evening.
Yeah.
But you didn't discuss it with me.
No.
But you're not going to.
Okay.
Because this evening is no longer about your discussion point. This evening is about something else. That's why when I heard you are coming alone,
yeah,
I took this opportunity. Because there's a discussion that we've never had before.
Oh, well.
Which I can only have with you.
I'm looking forward to this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. We've got a bunch of people tuning in this evening, from people that know you, people that follow you on all of your social media platforms. We've got our usual Radio Pulpit listeners. And we've got listeners that usually tunes in and they listen to Brenton Jerome every first Monday of the month. But yeah. Brenton Jerome, they know him as a pastor, and he works in ministry and in shelters and in homeless people's homes, and he's got an evangelist ministry. But hold on, there's more to Brenton Jerome. So guess what we are doing this evening?
What?
We are discussing the testimony of Brenton Jerome.
Oh wow. The testimony.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because something that very few people know, and I hope some people that know you can actually walk over to you and you could show them a journey or something that I was involved with a while ago with specific markings that was on your body.
Oh, yeah.
And those markings are covered today. Firstly, your past is covered by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
But those markings are covered because there's actually more to the story of Brent and Jerome. So I'd like us to take this opportunity to go listen to the testimony of who's Brent and Jerome. Where does he come from? What is the so-called disadvantages that he was born with? What was his gangster life? His drug life? How did God pull you out of it? And guess why I do it like this?
Why?
Because then you are at your most vulnerable state and the truth is going to come out. You didn't have weeks and weeks to think about what you want to say and what you don't want to say.
Just on the moment.
On the moment.
Yeah.
So, take us back. Take us back to Genesis.
I like that. Take us back.
Take us back to Genesis.
To the beginning.
Take us back to your BC years. Okay. When were you born? What was the circumstances? What was the negative benefits of the stuff that you grew up with? Go for it. We're listening. I'm going to interrupt you and I'm going to represent the listeners.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask you questions as we go along.
Please do.
Right. Brent and Jerome, this is it. The story, the testimony. Brent and Jerome, take it away.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. It is such an honor to testify. The testimony is not only about Brenton, but the testimony is someone who entered my life. And let me start from the beginning as the book of Genesis. I was born in Cape Town. Born and raised in Cape Town. I was born... do I have to say the year?
No, you can just say the date so you can get...
Okay, that's a good one. I was born in August the 30th.
Beautiful month.
The payday. Nobody has an excuse, so thank you very much for the blessings in advance. I was born in August the 30th, and it was a blessing to be born. But when I was about 2 years old, my grandma actually picked up there's something wrong with me. I'm not responding to anybody. I was always sitting in front of the radio, and when they called me, I couldn't hear anything. And then they took me to go see a specialist, and the specialist says, I lost about just over 60% of hearing in both of my ears. And I didn't see myself as being different. I just saw myself as being me. It's a disability that I had to adapt, and it wasn't easy. It really wasn't easy because I think I just started actually talking, saying words and all of that when I was about 5-6 years old, which affected my speech. And when I came out of creche, when I was in creche, they actually said to me, they would like to try me out to go to a normal school, because they saw potential in me, and I was always eager to learn and stuff like that. So they sent me to a school, and I was wearing hearing aids, and it was big hearing aids. It was groot hearing aids, and it was like, okay, I'm just going to be me. And it was challenging. It was very noisy, but I never let it bother me. I just wanted to be accepted, if I can say it like that, and have friends. And I fought a lot because I didn't know how to talk. So to express myself, I fought. Or if I want to show kindness, I will show kindness, but I always did it for my own benefit. I didn't understand people. And then I remember I had a very, very good friend. He became my closest friend. I'll never forget, his name is Alden. Alden Valentine. And he always treated me like a friend. And I also treated him as like a friend, but as a brother. But I was very protective over him. And once again, I kept getting into fights. I remember my parents had to come into school and stuff like that. And then after primary school, we had to go to high school. And then I struggled to get into high schools, my behavior and everything. And I got into a high school. It's a school where there's not any school uniform and stuff like that. It was like more like an American-based school. And yo, one thing I've noticed about the high school is just naughty like this. Stoute mensen. Even people that came out of Paulsmoor, I'll never get that guy's name, Sean. He also was in school because the school believed in, if I can say, us naughty ones. there's potential in us. And the violence and everything just became worse. And because where I grew up, in the Cape Flats. So seeing violence, seeing people getting hurt, gunshots and all of that, it was like a norm to me. It was such a norm to me that my parents didn't want me to grow up in that environment. And to the areas we stayed in, I was like, the place is still. You know, because I'm used to all the violence and everything. Long story short, I got involved with wrong people. I really got involved with wrong people because being as a colored, growing up in the Cape Flats, you either in the norm like a nerd, like a nobody, or you be part of
the gang.
The gang, the dark world, the fun world, the good world. And I have family members who was also involved in that. And funny enough, gang actually became more like family to me than my own actual family.
Mm.
And I'm not saying my parents were not good. They tried their best. They just did their best as they could to raise me up. But I believe when a child is actually a product of their parents when they're a child. But the minute they start getting into that teenage life and so forth and going up, I believe that teenager and young adult become a product of their own mind. And I chose gangsterism. I chose it. I was heavily involved. We were involved with drugs, a lot of violence. I sat with not plastic gangsters. I didn't sit with them. I sat with murderers. I sat with rapists. I sat with the worst people you can think of. I sat with them. And yes, I did get arrested. I was in, I was out. And the beatings, the shootings. I mean, the stabbings was something I did not enjoy. But it was good. Everyone thought, hey, ek is a general now. Ek is die now. Ek is hard. I'm hardcore now. I'm part of the men now. And it was all a lie. It was just a lie. And I remember my mother used to pray. I used to hear a lot. Her praying, and I'm like, Difra was mal. For what but say? And she prayed. And yes, I went to Sunday school. Yes, I went to youth, but I was problem there. I introduced the kids to alcohol, drugs. We partied and everything. Basically, I was a fake Christian. I wasn't really born again. I just pretended. And as I was growing older, I started, you know, staying on my own, started working and everything. But the gang world kept drawing me back. And I was heavy, heavy in the drugs that we started being suppliers for the big gangs. I'm not going to mention the gangs. I'm not going to mention the number and all of that stuff. But we had to supply them all the time. And Dwayne, I'll never forget it. I mean, I've seen a guy, we're all sitting, we're just talking, and they argued. I've never seen it. A knife just like that, poop in your cup. And it's like a norm, you don't get afraid. And it's like, Joe, daar gaan hy. Or we walk in the street, and we just had a talk. I remember that one guy, his name was David. We just had a talk. I think the next day or 2 days, he was laying dead in the street. And I was like, what is going on here? Everyone's just dying, but I'm still alive. And because of that, I had this. There's no fear. Nothing's going to happen to me. Because I'm in the world. I just knew I'm protected by what darkness. And it was going crazy. It was really going. I was lost. I was so, so lost that my relationship with my parents became so bad. I gave them hell. I really, really gave them hell, but yet, funny enough, they never gave up on me. And my mom used to keep praying. And my dad could do what he could do. I still remember the time I was under the same roof with my dad for years and hardly spoke with him. Hardly. But he did a lot of things to, not to talk to me, but to show me he cared and all of that. But that wasn't good enough for me. Dad, if you're listening, you know what I mean. it was hard. My dad grew up hard, and he did his best to raise us up, but I chose the other way. And sitting with these gang leaders, I was like a right-hand man. When we had to collect the money, those people who owed us, damn, man, I just heard crying. I saw blood. I saw broken bones. I mean, even sitting with that gun with all those bullets, and we like picking which bullet goes to this person and to that person. But what happened was, I saw how my friends were dying. That they got shot, they got stabbed, they got beaten up. They get to prison, and when you want to go visit them in prison, and then they have this look like I'm in a safe house. Can you believe it? Jail is more safer than outside. Because when you're outside and you don't belong to this camp or this number, anybody can attack you. Anybody from anywhere. And being in this world, you have to keep looking behind you. And with that, you don't really become a real man. For someone to keep looking to the back, you don't become a real man. A real man is someone who moves forward. And I took a break from that. I moved to Gauteng. I took a break and started working and all. And I still cared. I still did my nonsense here. And I went back to Cape Town again. And I got even worse. Like they say, worse, and then you get worser. If you can put it like that. And Dwayne, it became so bad that my own people, my own click gang started stabbing me in the back, started breaking into my car, started stealing from me, started planning attacks, started planning to kill me also. But every time when I went down to the ground, I kept getting up. There was a time I even walked home with a broken nose, jaw dislocated, I'm bleeding all over the place, and my mom was like, what's going on? No, nothing. And I go to sleep. I say, no, nothing. And I go to sleep. But all along, I can only testify it now. All along, I believe, with all of my heart, the hand of God was protecting me all the time. His hand was always around me, and it was like, this one is chosen. You can't do anything to him. He's mine. But yet, all those years, I was denying God. There wasn't really people who told me, I heard the name Jesus, but no one really explained who Jesus is. And after a whole lot of drama that I went through, I remember this one day. I moved back to Gauteng, and I remember this one day. Brenton, don't you want to go with me to church? And I said, no. No, I don't want to go to church. But Brenton, can you maybe drop me off? That was the same Sunday when I had to go somewhere to go pick up money. Obviously for the drugs.
Yeah, back in Joburg.
Yeah, back in Joburg. This was 2017, I think. And because I do love my mom, and I said, you know what? I can't go there, drop her off, go get the drugs and money, and then still get her and drive back. That's one thing I'll never ever do with my mother. I'll never put her in that arm. Because the people that I was with, even the girlfriends I had, they were always in danger. Always, always in danger. And that is why I never had a good relationship. I never really knew what a relationship was, to be with someone. And I said, you know, Mom, I'll just go with you. It's fine. And then I went to the, we went to this church, and these people were way too jolly, too happy. And I was like, what happy drug is these people on?
It looked like they were tripping.
they were like, hello, and I'm like, nah, that's each fault with yellow means.
What gebruik julle? Wie's jou supplier?
You understand? So we went in, and here's the thing that was very, the only word I can use, supernatural. There was praising and worshipping going on, but I couldn't hear a thing. But I could just hear somebody from the pulpit. I could hear a woman's voice there. And then I sat down, and church to church, I didn't even take note what was the message or anything like that, because kick is kick. And we left, and then my mom said, how was it? So I said, it was okay.
Kerk.
Yeah.
Your means a trip.
I always wanted to know what were they on. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were on a bull. The gospel.
Ah, say. Come on. Yeah. Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, 2 weeks later, I just woke up. And I was like, Mom, I want to go to church. And my mom was so shocked that she said, really? So I said, yes. So we actually went to church. Same thing happened again. And I
while you were still busy now with drugs
I'm
and with all of
this. I'm still busy with this, yeah, bro. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember, I'm a phone call.
But you were looking for a new pill. a new product, a new eye, yeah?
So I went there and, yeah, church was church. And then we went home and all of that stuff. And then this time I went alone.
To church?
To church.
What?
I went to church alone. And I sat at the back close to the door because if anybody's going to come to me.
Can you hard club, bro?
I'll come out. I'll even steal if I have to in glue. That's how it was. I was still in the world.
Hmm.
I'm still in the world. I want to find out what's going on. And
so they didn't. They must not be offergaves from my Yolat comment.
No, you might get up and go to the friend who put the offering.
Oh, luckily at that church. Anders had jy ook jou handjie dieper ingedruk. Ja, 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 vertel hom.
And so I remember this woman came to me and she was actually afraid to come to me and talk to me because I gave that I gave that vibe like don't speak to me. But then I remember that guy got up and he walked towards me and he asked me, do I belong to like this home cell? But there's a name they have for it, man. And I'm like, bro, that sounds like a bank account. What is this? Then he said, no, it's a home cell. I said, what is that? And he said, no, you all get together and, you know, fellowship and all of that. So I just said, yes. I said, no, so that he can get away from me. So he said, look, I'm going to go find someone. And then this woman comes and then she said, hi. And I said, no ways. That's the woman I heard all the time on the pulpit. And then they took my number and they said, would you come to home? And I said, maybe. And I left. Brother, I won't forget this day. It was a Tuesday. I was at a house, table full of drugs, money. We were getting high, sky high, and talking and all of this stuff. And I got this phone call. But I don't recognize this phone call, the number. And when the person says, hi, it's me. And I said, wait, then I actually walked away. Because I believe I walked away because there was a conviction. There was just a conviction that came out. And the person asked me, are you coming to home cell? And all of this stuff. And I'm so, I'm said, yeah. And we ended the call, and they said, no, somebody will pick you up. I said, okay, cool. This is my address. Right then, I ended the call, and I just said to all of them, I must go now. I need to go. I said, yeah, but what about your money, your cut that you need to take? I said, I don't want it. I need to go. Everyone was
shocked.
What's up with that, bro? He never leaves his money. He never leaves his drug, and don't even talk about the dope. When there's dope, I stay. When there's no dope, I'll go home. That's how it was. And I was still so high, and I didn't know what was happening. And then this guy, his name is Shane, he actually picked me up. And when he picked me up, I'm in a Zabur. He picked me up. I got in at the back. Because what hit me was I'm getting into someone's car. And me used to getting into detective's car at the back. In the police at the back. And I sat at the back. And he stopped at the stop. And he asked, why are you sitting in the back? I said, I'm used to sitting in the back. I'm sorry. He said, no, sit in front. And I sat in front. But what he did in that car, just talking to me normal and this love that he had. I'm like, Bri, you must be the main guy I can talk to. Because I need to know what are you people on. Because this is not normal. I was not used to the hug, love, or this love. I knew about the world love. I knew about that love. But this love that he kept telling me and showing me, and he actually mentioned Jesus and his love, and I'm like, no ways, man. Anyway, we get to home cell. Now we need to go up the stairs. And the light is bright. You know about my sight at night. I actually shared with him a bit. Listen, I don't know where I am. I struggle with my sight. And he said, no problem, I'll walk with you. We walk up. Once again, I sat by the door. I said, I'm going to sit here because just now I don't like this. I'm going to get out.
Maar besef jy, as jy weghardloop, gaan jy oor alles val. Want jy kan nie sien waar jy hardloop nie.
Nee, maar ek sien alles daar, so dat lukte en alles. Alles wat lekker.
Yeah.
Then they asked me, do you worship? Do you pray like this? Do you do that? And I'm like, what? No.
Waarvan praat jy?
Yeah. Ek weet nie wat ek wan nou, man. Yeah. I don't do this stuff and I'm not even going to pretend. I don't want to do it. And they said, no, fine. And then what happened was they were having, like, you know, worship, praise and worship there. And I'm like, this is crazy. They were like, you know, singing and they were raising their hands and they were shouting and they were crying and, you know, stuff like that. And I'm like, when is this going to end? And then after the praise and worship, we sat down. And I remember the leader said there, so, tell us about yourself. That is the night when I encountered him. I encountered the Holy Spirit right there. Because when everyone just disappeared. And I know I did not see Jesus. I didn't. Because Revelation 1:7 says all eyes, all ears will hear and see him. But I know who I encountered. And I know it was the Holy Spirit. Because who I saw, I was so blown away that I cried. I confessed. I said, I'm struggling with this. This is who I am. This is what I'm tired of it. And when I realized I'm actually with people, I stopped crying. And I said no. And after that home cell meeting, I went home and I still remember lighting a cigarette up. And I'm like, what the hell happened? What the hell happened? Yes, I still went back to drinking. I still went back to drugs. I still went back to everything. And then they were having like a gathering, like a poiki. And then Shane said, he's going to pick me up. I said, no problem. I was still so high because I was partying the evening before. And he picked me up and we went. And I actually saw all the church people. But I didn't want to mingle with all the church people because this was too much. And I was sitting with this group. And I was like, nah, this is something else. Then I heard about, I heard the word deliverance and out, what is it? And then he said, no, you can get delivered and all of that. And then I still remember I told Shane, brother, I don't know what it is. I don't know who spoke to me, but I want to give my heart to Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit ministered to me of what did Jesus do on the cross. And there's no person on earth who's going to lay down his life. What person does that? I mean, even when I was part of a gang, no one died for me. They all die for themselves. No one really protected me. We all just benefit from each other. I looked at people. I looked at family and everyone. And no love comes near to the love of Jesus. What he did on the cross. And I'm like, Papa, I'm all in. Take me now to church. I want to get delivered. And I want to give my heart to Jesus. But I first want to give my heart to Jesus. And when I gave my heart to Jesus, my life turned around upside down. I've literally felt like I was a baby that was just born. I was on my knees, on my hands, weeping. I didn't care who was looking at me. And that is the first time I encountered the Holy Spirit, His voice, His presence, everything. And that actually leads me to what I actually wanted to talk about tonight. A fear came over me. But the fear of God. And when I got born again, I will never forget it. I still went and I got out of a taxi. And as I got out of a taxi, there was an old man. And he had his dopey, but he can't open it. And he still had his cigarette. And then he still asked me. Because when he saw my tattoos, he said, daughter, can you please open? And right there without knowing, I said, brother, I don't drink. And he looked at me like, huh? I said, no, I don't drink, but I'll open it for you. And I open it. And when I walked away, I seriously got delivered. No craving for smoking. No craving for drinking. No craving for drugs. No craving for nothing. But a craving did come. And it was for the word of God. I just wanted to read the Bible. I just wanted to spend time in the word. Because Jesus on the cross. I wanted to find it. Where is it? Because the Holy Spirit kept telling me about it. And then when I started to remember what my mother said. And I started to remember what I heard now and then. Jesus on the cross. Ended everything, but he started something, and it's called eternal life, and it's called salvation. And I just wanted to spend time with the word, and the more I spent time with the word, the more I started falling in love, but the more it started changing me. And all I wanted to do was share the gospel. I don't want to talk to anybody about anything. Listen here, this is who Jesus is. This is what the Holy Spirit can do. And there was times I just wanted to make it huge, a public statement. And then I still remember God said to me, no, be still and wait. I will expose you. And I was so humbled to it, because when I was wearing hearing aid, I just put it this way. I know a lot of people not understand this part. My disability became God's availability to hear Him only and hear Him clearly. But while I was wearing hearing aids, still trapped in the world, it was very difficult for me to listen to the devil. But I was easy to believe what the devil was doing. And because when I got born again, His voice became so crystal clear, because the more time I spent in the Word of God, when He speaks, I know it's relating to His Word. And I wanted to testify, and I wanted to testify, and whoop, there I get a phone call. We would like to do an interview with you for a job. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And we did an interview there, and they said I can come. Because I lost everything. My unborn child, my car, my house. I lost everything. Everything. But when I became born again, bro, I felt like I had everything. It felt like I felt so complete. I had so much things. I remember that one person saw me and was like, you look like you got everything. I said, I have Jesus, who is everything. I don't have a job. I have nothing. I have Jesus. And God opened up a door for me to go work. And I got the job. And at that job, I still ministered. Even when people came in, I was in retail, people came in and knew where the cameras were, so I let the people stand in a position where the cameras can't see me, so that I can pray for the people, so that I can share the gospel with them. And my salvation, the testimony of Jesus Christ in my life, is just something I cannot explain, but to live for every single day. And COVID started. COVID started, and there was a lot of things that was, I don't want to get into detail.
But hold on, keep that thought, because okay. You need the water break. We must take a break. There's a song that we must play.
Oh.
I want to hear from COVID started. Can you keep that thought?
Yeah.
Keep that thought. Given the fact that these gents released their brand new single on our show, I thought it was just a good idea to play them back to back. This is Celebrate Africa with a song called Belief, and when we get back, we will continue with the words, COVID started.
Welkom back by Filling the Gap. Ons het nou net Belief van Celebrate Africa gehoor. Geniet dit.
Wow. Okay, Brendan Jerome, then COVID happened.
Yeah, then COVID happened, and what happened was I started getting flashbacks of the depression I went through, the anger management I went through, the difficult times I faced with life and challenges, because when COVID started, it was one of the most difficult part of my life, my journey. Because I depend a lot on lip reading. And if I'm used to you, then I'm used to your voice. And everyone was wearing a mask, and it was difficult to hear the people. But man, the Holy Spirit is so, so real that He would actually help me. You would interpret to me what that person said. And I'm like, okay, I understand. I'll help you. And I was in a very difficult space within my journey. No, I did not relapse. I didn't fall or anything. I was in a very, very difficult space because I felt stuck. And there was just too much going on. And I was like, Lord, this is not from You. What I'm listening to, what's going on, what is said. And I remember God still instructed me and said, I'm going to send you somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay, where do I go? Do I pack up? And no, I had to stay. And a lot of things was happening and so forth. And I remember you were commenting on people to bring food donation together. And then I need to, but before that food donation, let me first get to this part. A friend of mine informed me about Intel's and so forth. I'm like, okay, let me check it out. And I'll never get the first sermon I watched. It was about the donkey. But while listening to the sermon about the donkey, I never heard your voice, but I heard Michael W. Smith's voice. And I'm like, what's going on? I still told my mom and those who were close to me, I said, I had a supernatural encounter. Something was happening. I was listening to this, and the story about the donkey really touched my heart because I knew this is for real.
Was the first sermon from Enthil's mine?
Yeah, okay. That I watched on Facebook.
On YouTube.
Which is on YouTube.
YouTube and Facebook, yeah. Okay.
It was on Facebook. And because I believe I was in a lot of, not in hiding, I was in a isolation learning the gospel more. Because a lot of things was tormenting me during COVID. And but to me it was a blessing during COVID because I spent more time in the Word. I could spend more time in prayer and family and serve there at home and so forth. And then I heard that story and I'm like, interesting. And I'm like, Lord, are you telling me something? And when you're in class, the teacher always speaks. But when you're writing exams, you never hear the teacher speak. And I believe I was going through exams. And then I remember there was an invite to bring parcels with food and all of that stuff. Remember, I don't know anything about the church, nothing. And I remember I saw you first time ever face to face. We were there by your house. We got out and we were talking. And I just stared at and I remember you stopped and you kept telling me a word and you stopped and you kept telling me a word. And then I stopped you guys and I said, listen, yeah, I need to ask you something, man. I kept hearing Michael W. Smith and then you said, you know him personally and all of that. And I'm like, interesting. And I spent time in prayer.
But did you hear Michael W. Smith's voice?
Yeah, I know his
when music. I was the one who was talking about the donkey.
Yeah. I never heard your voice. I luckily never heard your voice.
So you got the message of the donkey, but with a voice of Michael W. Smith.
Because I was listening to his music.
I've never heard this side of your story. Okay, but anyway, Michael W. Smith plays a huge role in my life.
I know. And then I asked you, and then you said, ironically, I know Michael W. Smith. I was his MC, and I'm like, no ways. And then I left. And I think it was weeks, months, I don't know, weeks or something like that. And right there, I got the confirmation. Brenton, get in your car and drive. And I got in the car and I just drove. And I ended up at where I'm serving now. I got there. I came inside and I looked very confused and everything. What's the name again? The one who was in the wheelchair? Passed away? What is her name now, man?
No, I don't know.
She was married to old Nick.
Johnny Juliet.
She was the first lady that spoke to me. And she said something very profound to me, and I just knew. She said to me, when you stepped in, I saw a man of God come in. And I was so humbled by it, and I'm like, that's God. It's not me, it's God. And at the minute worship started, I started crying. I wept right through worship, even the sermon, because the ground became so holy to me. That I didn't want to stand. I didn't want to stand. I wanted to actually stand on the chair and all of that. And I left, and I'm like, Lord, I know. I believe. That's where I need to be. That's where I need to serve. And as time was going, I was at the church and all of that, and then I saw that post. I'll never get that post, youth pastor. And I'm like, wow. And I won't lie to you. The Holy Ghost, my best friend, said, that's yours. And I'm like, no, I have no qualifications. I have nothing. No. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I believe you guys were also praying. And when this was offered, I just knew. Because I remember at work in retail, I'll never forget it. I came inside and all I heard was, resign, preach, and go study. And because I got so familiar, I said, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure? Because I don't know what to do. I believe I have faith, but I'm not sure. I heard it again. Resign, preach, and study. And I actually, my mentor says something so wise to me, and I actually understood it now when he told me about it. But I asked the work if I can take leave, because I need to be somewhere. I need to be in a space because I need confirmation. And the work, they approved my leave, and yet I had no leave left. And I knew that's from God. I mean, how else can I just get leave? And I knew it's from God, and I left. And I went to Bloom to Paris just to get, you know, some, I just wanted some space. As I get out of the car, a pastor walks to me. He walks towards me and says, "Don't you want to quit your job and work for me?" Immediately I said to him, "No, I can't. My heart is somewhere, and I need to serve somewhere." And he told me straight there, "You are under the obedience of God. Do what God tells you." I came back. First thing I did, I went to go see your dad immediately. And I said, "Pastor Chris, the Lord spoke to me. I need to resign. I need to preach and I need to study. I don't know what to do. I need help, please." And just like that, he gets up and he walks out. And I'm like, "Waar gaan die man?"
He walked to me.
He walked to you.
He walked to me.
But the way he got up and he walked, I just knew, wait.
But the thought of spiritual authority.
Yeah.
Because he knew what he was looking for and he knew what he wanted to offer you. But because myself and my father are one if it comes to business and to finance, he walked to me. I remember the conversation. He returned back to you and offered you a job.
Yeah. And then I still said to him, "I don't even want the salary. I just need to do it." And then your dad still explained everything to me. And I said, "Okay." And so much happened. I mean, so much happened. I mean, I've seen phenomenal stuff before I came here and even after. I've seen how God healed.
He healed to such an extent that now you're almost getting married, my brother.
Amen. Ah. That is what teach me. I met my godly wife, and I'm going to get to the point because I feel it on my heart. I need to share something.
You must wrap it in 4 minutes, brother. Go for it.
Everything comes back to the fear of God. Where is the fear of God? Because I can never always be right. But I'll always have the fear of God because that is the beginning of wisdom. That is the beginning of your testimony. That is the beginning of we're taking off your shoes, the authority, and being in the presence of God. And that is how I am blessed with the woman that I'm going to call my wife one day. That is why I'm blessed to be in the studio sitting here, where it's always been my prayer, "Lord, I want to share the gospel. I want to testify who you are. I don't want to tell people Jesus is alive. I want to tell people Jesus is real. There's over 4,000 religions, but there's only one tomb. That's empty." And here's the opportunity. Even when I step into the studio, I cannot step into the studio without the fear of God. I cannot even speak to DeAndre without the fear of God. I cannot even step into work without the fear of God.
Constantly being in His presence.
You know, that
holy
is,
ground.
That I cannot let go, because even in the message, I was like, I hope people is catching this, what is being spoken about this holy ground. Again, where is the fear of God? Where is it? My entire walk, my salvation, preaching and sharing the gospel, it always began with the fear of God. And that is who my testimony is. His name is Jesus. He is someone that you don't make him as a light switch. You don't make him cheap. If you're truly born again, love for him. If you're not truly born again, that means you're living for the devil. Period. I know people are getting offended. But I mean, familiarity can lead one to stupidity, where you'll have no fear of God to fall, but have a familiar spirit to fall. And that is my testimony. My testimony's name is Jesus. Not the number I had on my body. Not my past. But him who laid his life down on the cross. Who's coming to fetch me and you one day? And I can't wait for that. but I'm never going to let the familiarity be around me, but the fear of God.
Well, listen to this. We got a message now from a lady called Daphne.
Hey, Daphne.
She says, Brenton, I'm so glad I met you. Thank you for your humble, honest heart. You are a listener and with such a teachable spirit. Amen. Daily when you chat, I learn from you. Amen. I love you a lot, Brenton.
Love you more.
Just a correction. If you've lived your life all these years, Brenton, under the wrong impression, I believe the truth will set you free.
Yes.
When I met you, I wasn't in a personal relationship with Michael W. Smith.
Sure.
I wasn't in no personal relationship. Michael W. Smith was the song Agnes Day was the song that led to my conviction when I was lying on the ground in the gutter in London. The song Agnes Day. So I'm very fond of Michael W. Smith. But through my journey with Radio Pulpit, I've been blessed to spend time with Michael W. Smith. But at that point in time, I was in no formal relationship with him or governing his shows or stuff like that. I was his number one listener, I think number one worldwide. And he means a lot to me, his story, his pureness. And through Radio Pulpit, God has made that dream possible for me.
Now, look how God spoke way before the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to correct it. Okay, but anyway, Leola.
Hey!
I am so proud of you, Brenton. I thank God for you every day.
Amen, love.
Amen, love.
Amen.
Well, pop it off, but they know. There you guys have it. Leola is the love of his life, and we're counting down the days for you to be Leola Jerome.
Yeah, I want to be a godly husband to her.
Yeah, be a husband, full stop.
Yeah, okay.
I believe God intended husbandship to be only godly. A husbandship that's not godly isn't husbandship.
Come on, skit your biscuit.
Well, the bottom line is that there is no pull like the gospel.
Amen.
And if God convicts you, you can be on the highest drug in the world. He can relieve you from it in an instant.
Yes, he can change anybody. I can testify that, like, 360 degrees, just like that. There was no hope for me.
Well, if anybody would like to get in hold of Brenton, maybe perhaps a church invite, an event invite to come share his testimony, maybe at your youth group or wherever, please do so. Send him a email, brenton@entheosgroup.co.za. Alternatively, you can send me a message, sport at Radio Pulpit or dwayne@radiopulpit.co.za. I'm unfortunately not going to release his personal cell phone number on air. He's happily in a relationship right now, so reach out with him to get in contact with him formally, brenton@entheosgroup.co.za, or alternatively, sport@radiopulpit.co.za. Okay, my brother, you literally have 30 seconds to pray. Okay, but listeners, I want to greet you. I'm not going to greet you after this. If Brenton says amen, we're going to go straight into Bernard Postumus with a song that they released on my show called The Hope Song. So, Brenton, you literally have 30 seconds. Okay. Take it away.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening to testify who you are. Lord, I pray that every listener receive the revelation and hope that you have done in my life. Lord, I also thank you for Dwayne and the show, for being a platform to stand for the gospel. But most of all, Lord, I ask you to bless every single person with the blood of Jesus. Whatever breakthrough is needed, I ask you in the name of Jesus to please assist and help them and reveal who you are, Father. May we worship you, may we praise you, may we give you all glory and honor and be brought back to the fear of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.